when we talk to people about what God wants them to do, two questions usually goes through people's minds, our mind and their mind. The first one is, how do I communicate to them a message that I know is going to be unpopular? How do I get across to them something that they aren't going to like to hear? And what is going through the other person's mind is, who does this person think that he is trying to tell me what I need to do? And we're going to look at those two questions tonight. Before we get in to the lesson, I want to welcome everyone. We've had a wonderful day. We were encouraged by so many visitors this morning. And Wednesday evening, I took the card home with me, and I don't have it with me tonight, but I'll have the lady that was visiting here this morning. I have her address posted so we can all send her a card thanking her for coming. And again, I mentioned the handout on the table back there this morning. I was lost and you were in a hurry. If you didn't get one of those, get one. Be sure to read it. Again, we pray for honest hearts to find honest souls. And this lady came in this morning and she said she moved to New Lebanon from the Columbus area. She's not a member of the Lord's Church. She said she was looking for a church that would help her get to heaven. That's the kind of person we want to find and to be studying with. So let's all encourage her. Hopefully she'll be here Wednesday night. And we just all work together and give God the glory. Please open your Bibles to the book of Amos. And we're going to continue looking at the prophets in the book of Amos. And just a little bit of review. Again, to help us remember the prophets and where they prophesied. There were two of them that prophesied up north to Israel, Amos and Hosea. Two of them that prophesied to Nineveh, Jonah and Nahum. Two that prophesied to Babylon, Ezekiel and Daniel. And then the rest of the prophets were down at Judah. Again, just to review the ones that we've looked at, Obadiah, and he prophesied against Edom, telling them that they were going to be utterly, completely destroyed. We looked at Joel, the prophet of Pentecost. We looked at Jonah, the reluctant prophet. We looked at Hosea, the brokenhearted prophet. And we spent a couple lessons on that, how God told him to marry this woman and she was going to become a harlot. And he was going to learn of the unfaithfulness and the agony that God goes through when we turn our back on him. And then we looked from Hosea also some principles of marriage. And this evening we're going to look at Amos. And I have for that, prepare to meet God, Amos, the prophet of preparation. And there's a song we used to sing. It's not in the newer books, but prepare to meet thy God. And that song comes from Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Careless soul, oh, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear ye not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing, while the fleeting years go by, and your life has been in folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Hear you not the earnest pleadings of your friends that wish thee well? And perhaps before tomorrow, you'll be called to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. That, in a summary, is what the book of Amos is all about. We want to look a little bit deeper into that. And some of these lessons have been a challenge for me because they don't follow a normal outline. And with this one, like some of the others, we'll just go through and try to get some lessons that we can apply to ourselves and hopefully make us better Christians. When you go back to look at this list that we have looked at, Obadiah, Joel, Jonah, Hosea, and now Amos, one thing that's common with all of them, they were just common, ordinary people. And that's who God uses to carry out His work, is just ordinary people, just like you and just like me. If you like to mark in your Bibles, in Amos chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 are a couple key verses in this book. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. As you have spoken, hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Amos prophesied around 740 to 730 BC. His audience was Israel. The theme, Jehovah is just, and Amos was a prophet of justice. His name means burden bear, probably because Amos had been given a heavy load to bear so far as trying to deal with the people and their many sins. God called him directly while he was tending to the flocks in chapter 7 and verse 15. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people, Israel. So he was just a common herdsman. We'll see a little bit more of his background as we go through. The mission of Amos, he was to preach to the people of Bethel. And that is where the golden calf was set up by Jeroboam to preach to a people that felt no need for preaching. So we see Tekoa is where he was from. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Judah and Israel. And he goes from Tekoa up to Bethel. And there had been two golden calves set up so that the people would not have to go to Jerusalem to worship. And God was not pleased with that. There's a phrase, thus says the Lord. It's a key phrase throughout the book of Amos. And again, he's stressing that his message is from the Lord. Just looking in chapter 1, verse 3, thus says the Lord. Verse 5 at the end says, the Lord. Verse 6, thus says the Lord. Verse 8 at the end says, the Lord God. Verse 9, thus says the Lord. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord. Verse 13, thus saith the Lord. Verse 15 says, the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, the Lord. Just throughout this short book, over and over, he's emphasizing, this is what the Lord is saying. The manner that he preached to them, in many respects, he was like Jeremiah. And we can feel and understand much of the character of Amos and what he was going through. He was a humble, simple, plain man of God. He was blunt, direct, but he was also courageous. He was dynamic. He was stern. He didn't back down, and he was fearless and uncompromising. And again, keep in mind, we aren't looking at this as a history lesson, just to study it for something that's academic. We're looking at it, studying it. How can we apply these things from Amos to our life as we go and teach others? His language was shocking. He was a deeply religious man, a man of conviction, a man of boldness, and he brings his audience face to face with the ultimate reality. Oh, prepare to meet thy God. You know, we can talk circles around on about a lot of things, but we've got to get across to people. You've got to prepare yourself, because all of us are going to stand before God. To Amos, the question that was foremost in his mind, and it should be in our mind and everybody's mind, what does God think? Doesn't matter what some man thinks or what some man says, but what does God think? And he puts compassion into his sermons. He cares about the people, but he's very blunt. And he was wise in not preaching over the heads of the people. When God said, go prophesy to them, he could have gone and said something like so many people today, and it sounds nice, or it sounds very theological, and people leave and don't change or don't think a thing about it. He didn't preach over their heads. He hit them where they needed to hear it. And he was clever in catching the attention of the people by pronouncing judgment on their enemies first. In chapter 1, he goes through and talks about what God is going to do to the nations round about them. Then he's going to bring it down closer and keep bringing it down to hit them. And again, he was fearless in talking to the people. He didn't tickle their ears. He taught them the truth. We see this with all the prophets. The prophets told people about their sin, and that's something that we need to learn how to do that. One of the messages that comes across loud and clear from Amos is that the root of all evil, from which other evils and corruption flows, it all goes back to perverting the worship of God. When people get away from the worship of God, as God has given us the pattern, that's where the problems start following. And that's why he was going to Bethel. And they didn't like him going there, and we'll see that too. Amos called out Israel's sins and made them clear to them. They were selling the righteous into slavery. They were oppressing the poor. There was sexual immorality. They told the prophets not to preach. They were very materialistic. They were religiously corrupt. Again, you look at the time of the prophets, and it sounds pretty much like the time of today. Not much different. And Amos, he calls not only for justice, but he also calls for social justice, which we don't talk about too often. I think maybe we don't because there's been a division in the brotherhood, and rightfully so, where money is wrongfully used from the Lord's treasure on some social needs. But that does not relieve us of the obligation that we have as individuals to help others. When you stop and think about that, just for a minute about today, when we talk about abortion, what do we usually think? Well, that's a Catholic issue. Abortion's wrong, but that's a Catholic issue. Let them take care of that. They're good at taking care of that. Well, we should be involved in talking to others about that also. You think about the elderly. Well, you know, there's all kinds of federal agencies that can take care of the elderly. We'll let the government agencies take care of that. Well, there are, but we have a responsibility also. There are families that are falling apart, and we can say, well, there are psychologists and counselors. Those people will help those families that are falling apart. They may, but as individuals, we have a responsibility for that also. And Amos addresses some of those things. In Amos was condemned the ease and the luxury, the oppression of the poor, the lying and cheating and hypocrisy and worship. He reminded the people that no nation of the world, regardless of how powerful it may be, can stand against the judgment of God. In Amos 6:1 and Amos 4:12, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. In 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. And there's a warning for us there today. We should not be at ease. We live in a very materialistic society where we can have anything we want. We need to not be at ease, and we need to be prepared to meet God. Amos 9, 11, and 12. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, that they may possess the remnant of all the heathen. And this is a reference to the Gentiles, and that is repeated in Acts chapter 15 and verse 16. Amos has 9 chapters. And again, he's a prophet from Tekoa in the southern kingdom, but he prophesied to the northern kingdom. So just stop and think about that. He is he's down south, and he's going to go up north. He's in the southern kingdom, and he's prophesying to the northern kingdom. So again, their reaction is going to be, what are you doing coming up here to prophesy to us, to tell us what we need to do? And you can understand how Israel would react. But again, back to chapters 1 and 2, he uses psychology when he starts prophesying to them. He tells what God's going to do to the other nations, the nations round about him, Phoenicia, Syria, Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia. He tells them what God is going to do to them. He talks about the power of God. And then again, he starts out wide and he brings it right down to the people and what they need to hear. Amos saves Israel for the last. There are 8 condemnations. He starts out and he comes down to them last. In chapter 3, chapters 3 through 5, each contain a sermon in themselves. Chapter 3 is the price of privilege. Chapter 4, the penalty of pride. Chapter 5, the peril of procrastination. So when we have privilege, there is a price that goes along with that. When we have pride, there is a penalty that we're going to have to pay when we have pride. And when we put things off, there's going to be a danger. Chapter 7 through 9, there are 5 visions that talk about judgment to come. So chapter 8, 11 and 12, how do I communicate God's message when I know it will be unpopular? In 8, 11 and 12, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, for they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east, they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. So here's where the Lord is going to tell them what's going to happen. But let's back up in chapter 7. And this is in chapter 7 is in the midst of the visions. Amos was called to tell of a certain punishment. He told Israel they were greedy, unjust, unclean, profane. They defended themselves on the ground that they were God's chosen people. Amos reminded them that they would be condemned and punished regardless of who they were if they rejected God. Amos called the women of the day kine of Bashan. That's cows. He's calling the women cows, because they cared only for luxury and worldly pleasure. He exhorted them to repent, but they refused to do so. Since the people refused God's warning, Amos told them, prepare to meet thy God. Now, as he is talking about these visions in chapter 7, before he finishes them, look in verse 10 of chapter 7. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah, there eat bread, and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Have you ever talked to people, tried to share the gospel with them, tell them about God, and they just said, I don't want to hear this anymore. Just get out of here. I don't want to hear it. That's what is happening to Amos. What does Amos say? How does he respond in verse 14? Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of your Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, your land shall be divided by a survey line, you shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from its own land. They didn't want to hear what Amos had to say, and then again, he just let them have it. This is what God's going to say to you. God wants you to repent, but there's going to be a time when you aren't going to be able to. Back to verse 11 of 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a time coming when it's going to be too late to do anything. We plead with people. We beg with them. We try to get them to understand what they need to do. And then there's a point when it's too late. Again, a simple outline of Amos. In the first two chapters, there's a judgment against all the nations. Amos 3 through 6, a judgment against Israel. And then chapter 7 through 9, visions regarding the future. These visions that Amos has. Chapter 7, devouring locusts. Again in chapter 7, a consuming fire. Chapter 7, the searching plumb line. Chapter 8, the summer fruit basket. Chapter 9, the Lord at the altar. These are all visions regarding the future for Amos to tell the people of things that are going to happen to them. We see that there's judgment on man because of his pride. When you look in chapter 8 and verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feast into mourning, and your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist, and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. God is going to bring judgment on them. They were going to be used to wearing fancy clothes, nice clothes. And what's going to happen? I'll bring sackcloth on everybody. Their hair that they would make up and spend time on, and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son and end like a bitter day. there are some other passages in here about what he's talking about, how he's going to do things. The phrases are kind of interesting, like when he says, "I'll give them whiteness of teeth." What's that talking about? They aren't going to have food. They aren't going to have to worry about stuff, food being in between their teeth. They aren't going to have food. People think, they think that they can disregard God's word and get away with things. And we, as God's servants, need to learn from Amos and all the other prophets. We need to learn how to get a message across to somebody that's not going to want to hear the message. I try to do that in some of the lessons. I tried to do that this morning, where there is one topic I was wanting to focus on, but I wrapped a bunch of others around it. Hopefully, people got the message. We've got to approach people in different ways, but people need to repent. They need to turn from their sins. How do we get that across? And we need to consider, again, when we tell somebody that they're in sin, most people aren't going to jump up and down and say, "Oh, good, I'm glad you told me that." They aren't going to respond that way. And some people may be like when Amos went and prophesied, and they told him, "You go back where you came from. We don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it." But we have to preach God's word. We have to do it with love, but we have to do it with boldness. And we have to have compassion, like we've been reading in Matthew, we've been reading in Psalms, the compassion, the mercy, the loving kindness. None of us deserve heaven. Nobody does. We need to get across to other people. We were sinners too. We don't deserve anything, but by God's grace and mercy, He has forgiven us of our sins. Why? Because we were obedient to His word. It's not just enough to hear His word. We've got to be obedient. And when our life is in opposition to it, we have to change. Back to Amos 5, 14 and 15. "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. As you have spoken, hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." Again, a summary of what we need to do for our life, how we need to live it. Seek good and not evil. Hate evil, love good. And there's a phrase in here I find very interesting. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. And this phrase is repeated several times through Amos and in other parts of the Old Testament. Amos doesn't refer to God as the God of Israel, the God of the Israelites. He says, "The Lord God of hosts." And when you look at several places in the Old Testament, the host, and there's a reference to it back in Genesis, and I'm looking through here and I don't think I jotted it down, but the host of heaven referred to the sun and the moon and the stars, all of those hosts. And again, remember, many of the people of Canaan, they worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars. Those were their gods. They worshiped those gods. But God is God of everything. He is the God of the host. He is the God of the sun, of the moon, of the stars, a host of heaven. When you think of a host, in some places it's referred to as an army. And you think about how many stars are there. They are innumerable. We cannot count them all. You think about God showing up with his innumerable army, and man has the arrogance to stand up to God and say, I'm not going to do it your way. I want to do it my way. God will let us do it our way, and then he will reward us for doing it our way. And the reward that we will get is death for all eternity. Amos has a very strong message, but a very simple message too. And again, the things to take away from this to help us: how do I communicate to people when I know my message will be unpopular? Because most of the people that we talk to about the gospel aren't going to want to hear it. And we've got to understand the person that we're talking to. They're going to be thinking, who does this person think that he is coming and telling me wrong? And when we come to an understanding of those two ideas, and they're kind of opposing to each other, it'll help us to share God's word with others. But again, like with all the prophets, God used just plain ordinary people, just like us. Is the power in us? Not at all. The power is in the word. We just share the word, and there is power in the word to take sin out of man. The people of Israel were skeptical regarding the predictions of Amos. They were living under prosperous conditions and considered him to be a pessimist and alarmist. But in less than 50 years, his announcement of the doom of Israel was fulfilled. So he warned them. All the prophets warned them, God is going to come in judgment. They didn't listen, and then they were taken off into captivity. Friends, we need to listen to God's warning today. If we are not obedient to him, we are going to face his wrath. There's a judgment coming for us. And as we think of the song that's based on Amos, we need to prepare to meet God. If there's anybody here this evening that needs to make correction in their life, repent of their sins and be baptized, or there's sin in your life or you're struggling with something, if we can assist anybody in being obedient this evening, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.